Hello, and welcome to the Good Book Club for the season of Epiphany 2019. This is day one. This is a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one long sentence. It's basically Paul's equivalent of how we would begin an email or a letter, Dear so-and-so. But as you can hear, Paul is much more expansive. And this is the form of a Greek salutation in a letter. There's lots of language and lots of flowery stuff. But let's back up a bit. The Epistle to the Romans, written by the Apostle Paul, somewhere between 55 and 57 Common Era. And so this puts it at 20 to 25 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and some 15 to 20 years before the first canonical gospel, the Gospel of Mark, was likely written around 70 Common Era. This is the longest of Paul's undisputed letters in the New Testament, and it is one of his most closely studied, perhaps the most closely studied of Paul's letters, and it is reflective of a nuanced and full theology. Someone has called the Epistle to the Romans Paul's systematic theology. Well, I don't know how systematic it is, but it is certainly expansive. And the key thing here, unlike other Pauline letters, Paul is writing to a community of Christians in Rome that he has never met. All of the rest of Paul's letters, both the undisputed and the disputed ones, are written to groups of people, churches, congregations that Paul himself had founded. And so Romans is distinct in that Paul is writing to them in advance of visiting them for the first time. There's a lot of dispute and discussion about at what point in Paul's life he visited Rome finally, but the usual timeline is that he visited Rome likely at the end of his ministry, and he was likely there as a prisoner of the Roman Empire. But that's for later on in our discussion, later on in our reading of Romans. But for right now, just a couple of things about the salutation that I read. One, Paul calls himself two things in this salutation. He calls himself a slave. The NRSV softens that a little bit by calling it servant, but the word is slave. He says in that word that he belongs to Jesus, that his ultimate obedience is to Jesus, and Jesus really is his master. And then he says that he is an apostle. To be an apostle is one commissioned with a message, and apostleship was hotly contested in Paul's day. Plenty of people didn't believe that Paul was a real apostle because their understanding of an apostle was that you had to be one of the original groups, one of the people who walked with Jesus when Jesus was on earth. Paul had had a post-resurrection experience of Jesus, converted. You can read all about that in the ninth chapter of Acts, converted by a vision. And in Paul's mind, his apostleship was just as valid as Peter and James and John because he had seen the resurrected Lord. Anyway, Paul sees that he has been called for a purpose, and that purpose is for apostleship, but then he uses the same word, called, to reflect upon the nature of those who were gathered as the church in Rome. He says they are called to belong to Jesus, and they are called to be saints. This sort of recognition that we come to Jesus not as a result of our own free will, but in some ways we have been called, we have been lured to this life of discipleship through the power of the Holy Spirit. We Episcopalians would say through the waters of baptism we have received our call. That call is to follow Jesus day in and day out. And it's important that we would read this particular passage at the beginning of the Good Book Club and at the beginning of the season of Epiphany, where we will hear plenty of call stories on Sunday mornings. We will hear of how people respond to Jesus' call to follow him. And that leads me to pose a question for us on the first day of the Good Book Club. How are we hearing Jesus' call? How are we being led to follow Jesus in our day and time? How are we being open to the movement of the Spirit in our lives? Jesus has been made manifest to the world as the Son of God. That's what we will be proclaiming throughout the season of Epiphany. But one of the ways that Jesus is manifest in these days and times is through the lives, the mission, and the ministry of people like us, who are just like the Roman church, called to be saints, called to belong to Jesus. May we listen for that call intently throughout this Epiphany season. Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and to proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.